Stai ascoltando SBS Italian. Scopri altre storie nella tua lingua. Visita sbs.com.au/italian.
Il nostro ospite oggi è Alexander Brieger, notissimo musicista e direttore d'orchestra australiano, con il quale parleremo in inglese, ma innanzitutto, Alexander, dici qualcosa anche in italiano.
Buongiorno.
Tutto qui?
Molto felice di essere qui.
Okay, Alexander, let's talk a little bit about yourself before going into the latest news and the announcement that will be made public very soon.
Yes, absolutely.
As we said in the intro, you're a musician, you're a conductor.
Yes.
You've been involved with proper music for a long, long, long time. And you've been the conductor of the World Orchestra, which is an interesting proposition in itself, because most people who don't know much about classical music have heard the name Zubin Mehta.
Yes, that's
who's
true.
Who's one of your predecessors. So
yes.
Tell us something about that.
I formed the orchestra back in 2011, and in a nutshell, it brings the sort of the creme de la creme of Australian musicians who are playing here in Australia and all around the world back home to play for 1 week to put on a very big orchestra. And yeah, as you rightfully said, 2011 I conducted it with Simone Young, and it was a huge success. About 96 players in the orchestra at that time, coming from about 46 world-class orchestras. So they're musicians, Australian musicians who are playing in the Vienna Philharmonic, the Berlin Philharmonic, the London Symphony, the Concertgebouw, the Gewandhaus, the Chicago Symphony, New York Philharmonic, etc., etc., as well as Sydney Symphony, Melbourne Symphony, all of our state orchestras. And we were very lucky that in 2013, as you said, Zubin Mehta made a visit to us in Australia, and he loved the orchestra, and he called it one of the top 10 orchestras on earth. So that was a huge accolade and honour for us. And then he loved it so much, he toured with us to his homeland of India, and we did that in 2015. And in the same year, again, we were able to, seduce probably the most famous conductor alive, Sir Simon Rattle, who, of course, is the music director of the Berlin Philharmonic, to come out. And he came out and conducted the orchestra, and he said that the Australian World Orchestra is not just a national treasure, it's an international treasure. So these were really, really big accolades. And now we're seeing that the orchestra is growing in fame all around the world. That's really, for me, I'm trying to get out the so-called top five conductors who I think are the top five in the world to come out and conduct. Because, you know, they've never been to Australia. They've all come to Australia with their own orchestras. You know, Simon Rattle came with the Berlin Philharmonic. Zubin came with the Israel Philharmonic. But they'd never come to conduct an Australian orchestra. So this was the first time. It was a huge honour for us, and also a tribute to just how good Australian musicians are.
What gave you the idea of putting together this orchestra? Because if you forgive the comparison, we know that in rock music, a lot of Australian musicians live overseas and work overseas because they make it big over there, put it this way.
It's like acting, the same thing. A lot of Australian actors move to Hollywood now, and they do very, very well. It's the same thing with us, with the classical musicians. Well, we all sort of go overseas to soak up the atmosphere, particularly of Europe, of what it was, you know, a lot of us go to Germany to see, you know, to hear the Berlin Philharmonic or to Austria, the Vienna Philharmonic, or even Italy, for opera. I mean, there's no other place to learn about Puccini or Verdi, is there, or Rossini, than Italy itself. So it's something that Australians, we're so far away that we have to do. But I remember I conducted an orchestra in Japan called the Japanese Virtuoso Symphony Orchestra, which was very, very similar, made up of Japanese musicians playing around Japan. The difference is that they were all based within Japan. But this orchestra was incredible, incredible. So I thought, you know what, if they can do it, we can do this as well. And all of us, you know, the ones that were living overseas, had been talking about putting this sort of orchestra together for about 20 years. So I finally decided to go for it. Everyone thought I was mad, but we pulled it off.
In your opinion, what makes an orchestra great? Because obviously there are many good orchestras,
yeah, yeah.
You can buy CDs and find, you know, great conductors working with New York, as you said, London, Berlin, Vienna, you name it. But you were mentioning orchestras that made you feel like they were probably better than good.
Yeah.
What makes it better than good?
Definitely the sound. You know, it's the whole sound world. That's why people think about the two greatest orchestras on earth, the Berlin Philharmonic, which has this sort of sound which is so lush. And it's very difficult to describe. It's something that you really have to experience live. And the Vienna Philharmonic as well. And they both have this long, long tradition and working with conductors that form this sound world. You know, it's mellow but dramatic. Whereas, of course, in America, it's much harsher. And same thing with in England, where the brass are more incisive. And that's also very interesting as well. But all these really great orchestras, people talk about the sound that they produce. And of course, then there is the virtuosic aspect of it, that they just never make a mistake. You know, I remember talking to one of the greatest conductors that ever lived, Sergei Olkshalty, who conducted all these great orchestras. And he came out to Australia with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And I remember asking him afterwards, you know, why is it so good, this orchestra? And he said, because they risk everything. They just go for everything. And then more often than not, they pull that off. And but it really is to do with the intensity of the sound.
To become a conductor, I mean, you've been a conductor for many years, but let's say to make the transition from musician to conductor, is it similar to make the transition from player to coach in a way?
It's a good question, actually. I hadn't thought of that analogy. No, I think it's a bit different. The thing about, although, of course, the coach of a football team, for example, has to have the personality that he or she can control all those big personalities within the team. And that's really difficult, isn't it? And, of course, you think about the coaches, particularly if we talk about, as the Italians would know, football, then those coaches, of course, they have the personality that can lead the players to greatness. And that is the same with the conductor. The thing about conducting, which makes it so much more difficult than just being an average musician in the orchestra, is that you have to have the personality to lead, and you have to be able to convince all of those musicians that what you are doing is, whether they think it's right or not, that that's how you want a certain particular piece of music to go, and they follow that. And so it's a little bit like being a top politician, whether being the prime minister or, you know, the president of a country, in that way as well. And we often make that analogy. So it's you have to have that personality. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people just simply don't have the personality to lead. And that's the difficulty.
Yeah. And again, of course, on the same point, especially somebody with a trained ear can tell immediately whether that piece was conducted by Karajan or Riccardo Muti or whatever.
That's very true.
Because the personality of the conductor is usually reflected in the way
Absolutely.
The musicians play.
Absolutely. You know, you see someone like Karajan was a classic example. You can almost always tell it was conducted by him. You know, this certain, again, we talk about the sound world, and that was everything. He was so obsessed with the sound. And Riccardo Muti is another classic example, because he is also obsessed with the sound world of the orchestra, particularly the German and the Viennese sound world. And Mater, to a certain extent, is very similar to that. Abbado, you know. And in my opinion, Claudio Abbado was one of the, you know, the all-time greatest that ever lived. I used to revere that man. But they all created a sound world. And even though they also come across sometimes as not being, you wouldn't think that they are these incredibly strong characters. They are. They're behind the scenes. You know, someone like Abbado used to come across as being very shy and timid. No. Very, very strong character.
In your case, have you ever turned up at a rehearsal and had to raise your voice.
Oh, because... that happens all the time. Happens all the time. But you have to take control immediately. Otherwise, the orchestra can really run riot. And actually, we talked, because we're on an Italian program, the Italian orchestras are very well known for that. If you don't control them immediately, they'll start to control you. And I was recently in Napoli at the San Carlo, and I loved conducting there. But the first rehearsal, immediately, you have to show them that you're the boss, and they have to have immediate respect for you. That doesn't mean you need to be mean. You don't have to be a horrible person. But you have to convince them immediately that, one, that this is how you interpret a particular work, but also that you are the boss, that they have to have a certain respect for you. And as soon as if you can accomplish that very quickly, then the orchestra will follow you. If you don't, and you have really 5 seconds to do that, because they, like everybody, they judge the conductor immediately. Just by when he or she walks out onto the podium, they will look at that person and say, do we like this person? Does this person command respect immediately? Just by the way you walk. So you have to be very confident in that way.
It's very difficult.
Very assertive. Very assertive. But at the same time, you know, charming as well. And you have to have all of these things that, in my opinion, you cannot learn it and you can't really describe it. Just certain human beings have that sort of indescribable magnetism, you know?
Alexander, we could talk for hours about music, but there's something that you need to tell our listeners because it's happening very soon and it's a very interesting development.
It is, yeah. Well, next season with the Australian World Orchestra, I've just been talking about the fact that I wanted to invite the so-called top five conductors out to Australia. And we had Zubin Mehta, who's definitely in the top five, and Simon Rattle, who is definitely in the top five. And next year, especially for our Italian listeners, the next person who is definitely in the top five, and that is Maestro Riccardo Muti, is coming out to Australia to conduct the Australian World Orchestra in the very beginning of May, in the 2nd and the 4th in Sydney, and then in the 5th in Melbourne. And this, again, is for us a huge coup for us because, you know, Maestro Muti, he picks and chooses who he wants to conduct. He's very well known to be very, again, we're talking about this personality. He's a strict man, very strict, but incredibly charming. You know, he has that Italian charm, very good sense of humor. But at the same time, people are very scared of him in a way, you know, so commands respect. And I met with him in Chicago.
I was going to ask you, please, can you describe, obviously, only the things that you can say, how you managed to pull this off?
No, but you see, it's quite easy with this orchestra because all of my musicians play in all the great orchestras. So for Zubin Mehta, I talked to one of the oboists, an Australian oboist, who plays in the Israel Philharmonic, so he knows him very well. I know Simon Rattle very well, so I was able to contact him. And with Maestro Muti, that actually came through one of the trombonists of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, one of Australia's greatest trombonists, Michael Mulcahy, who is very close to Maestro Muti. And so I wrote to Maestro Muti via him, a letter explaining who we were. I sent him CDs and things. And then I requested a meeting. And through Michael, we were able to accomplish that. And so I flew to meet with him to Chicago. And, of course, a man like that, I think, you know, that shows that you're serious, that you will travel all around the world to see him. And we had a, you know, a 30-minute talk about the orchestra and about him coming and whether he would like to come in his room before a rehearsal. And then he said at the end of it, yes, okay, it sounds like a wonderful idea. I haven't been to Australia to conduct an Australian orchestra. Okay, I come.
That's a great story. I'm sure there are more details that you are concealing.
It's as simple as that. As long as you treat that person with respect and... of course, they haven't heard of this orchestra probably, but when you describe it, and of course they know so many of the players, the Berlin Philharmonic and the Vienna Philharmonic, and for Maestro Muti, Chicago and Bavarian Radio Orchestra, orchestras he conducts all the time. So it's already for him, okay, yeah, I know this place. Now you're playing this orchestra. That's good. And, you know, and again, we said, of course, in Australia, there's a huge Italian community, as we know. And I said, you know, these Italians, they love and revere you and music, but they never get a chance to see you in Australia. So come, you know, and conduct for them. And he said, yeah, I would love to do this. And that's how it really came off.
Well, the next question is then, when and where this will happen, and how can our listeners make sure that they don't miss out?
Okay, well, yeah, we have two concerts in Sydney at the Opera House and the Concert Hall on May the 2nd and the 4th. Next year, of course, and then down in Melbourne, one concert at Hamer Hall, the Arts Centre Melbourne, on the 5th of May. And really the best place to go is to log on to our website to book tickets. That's www.australianworldorchestra.com.au. But you just have to Google Australian World Orchestra, and, of course, it comes up immediately. And tickets will be going on sale in a couple of days. So it's one of the reasons I'm out in Australia is to launch this season. Yeah, and I think it's going to sell pretty quickly because, you know, again, within the classical music scene, this man is revered. So everyone wants to see him. The program is superb. He's coming out again to do, we were talking about creating a beautiful sound world. He's coming to do one of his favorite works, the Brahms Second Symphony, which he's done so many times with the Vienna Philharmonic and the Berlin Philharmonic, and also Tchaikovsky, which he's very well known for, the Fourth Symphony. And there will be an Italian flavor, of course. You can't have Riccardo Muti coming out all the way to Australia without conducting something Italian. But that's a secret. You have to come to the concert, but all the Italians will know the piece immediately and they will be very happy.
You will not tell us whether it's an overture from an opera?
I think I can probably give that away. But, you know, and we all know that Maestro Muti is, you know, the greatest Verdi conductor alive. There's no doubt about it. But unfortunately, Verdi didn't write any symphonies. But, yeah, he wrote some overtures, and I just love listening to Muti conduct Verdi. There's nothing better, really. He is the number one, and he has been for so long now. He's superb at it.
Once again, the website?
www.australianworldorchestra.com.au.
Thank you.
Thank you. Grazie mille.
sbs.com.au/Italian.